This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, I want to hit something real quick, and I want you to listen carefully, okay? This is the Prince of Preachers, the famous Prince of Preachers, who, I'm telling you what, he preached it down, literally. He was one that was very well known to preach concerning the power of the Holy Ghost, who was sent down from heaven to preach through men with the law in the hand of Christ, preaching law to grace, Galatians 3:24. And with that said, he said, if you lower the law, God's moral law, and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. He said, if you lower the law, you dim the light by which man perceives his own guilt. He said, this is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. I say that you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most powerful weapon, when you have set aside the law. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men to Christ. He said, they will never accept grace till they tremble before a just and holy law. Therefore, the law serves a most necessary purpose, and it must not be removed from its place. Okay, well, with that said, when we look at what was just posted by the Christian Post, for those that know who Andy Stanley is, this guy preaches to over 33,000 people every Sunday at a North Point Ministries 5 Metro Atlanta campus. Isn't it interesting, just a little bit of a side note, isn't it interesting that the more loose and heretical, where there's false doctrine being taught, isn't it interesting how people flock to those self-proclaimed churches? And when you look to that, even going back again to Charles Spurgeon once again, the Prince of Preachers, he said that very church which the world likes best is sure to be that which of God abhors most. Let me say it again. Charles Spurgeon rightly said that that very church which the world likes best is sure to be that which God abhors, and I add the most. Now, going back over to Andy Stanley, I believe that he's probably the son of the famous preacher, Mr. Stanley. And with that said, Andy said, Christians should quit erecting Ten Commandments displays and should instead consider making monuments dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount, said Andy Stanley. I mean, folks, this is anarchy. This is the prime definition of what an antinomianist is. They have no regard for God's moral law, and they act accordingly, by the way. These are the same guys that, through revision and being dummied down first and foremost themselves, they actually work against God's government. And if you, by the way, these are the first people to label people that out of gratitude serve God because of the demonstration of Calvary on their behalf. When they seek to magnify God's moral government in this earth, His will be done in this earth as it is in heaven, these are the first type of people that come out with a created word called legalism, because you just can't find that word. But when you look to what they try to label people as legalists, it's interesting to note they're not, first of all, making distinction between moral law and ceremonial law. But it's interesting to note, friends, they're the first ones to point the finger at people that love God enough to actually magnify His law. Oh, boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Read Psalm 40, verse 8. Read Hebrews 8, 10, as well as reading Hebrews 10 as well, friends. And you will see that Jesus came into the world to do what? To magnify God's law, which is written upon His mind and His heart. But we're saved through grace, not of works. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Yes, I'm going to go on understanding that Christ came in to fulfill the law. Read Romans 3:31. It says just exactly what I just said. But again, we have the modern day professors, these hirelings. By the way, friends, by what I'm hearing here, he has no signs of the Holy Ghost whatsoever. None whatsoever. He is preaching down against God's government. He's preaching it down. He's advocating contrary to what God commands in so many different ways. But again, he said Christians should quit erecting Ten Commandments displays and should instead consider making monuments dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount, popular pastor Andy Stanley said. Now, it's interesting, friends. What would you think of me if I said, let's just go ahead and remove all the speed limit signs? You would think that I was an anarchist. You'd think I was crazy. What would you think of me if I said, let's remove all the stop signs? You would think of me that I was just way out there. I was crazy. I'm dangerous to society. But yet when you hear it from these hirelings that have no business being in the pulpits to do the exact opposite of Christ, for some reason it's permissible. As a matter of fact, more people will go to that self-proclaimed church than they will to someone that's actually preaching the way Christ preached when he was incarnate on this earth. The North Point Community Church pastor argued that the Ten Commandments are the Old Covenant and no longer apply to believers. I mean, this guy's, he's a heretic. He's absolutely heretical every step of the way. He said, if you're going to create a monument to stand as a testament to our faith, shouldn't it at least be a monument of something that actually applies to us? He posed. Well, let me ask you something, goof. Then what was it that drove you to the foot of the cross? I mean, the message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to go on. Participants in the new covenant, that's Christians, are not required to obey any of the commandments found in the first part of their Bibles. This guy is out of his mind. Participants in the new covenant are expected to obey the single command Jesus issued as a part of his new covenant. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The new commandment is a replacement for everything in the existing list, including the Big Ten, he maintained. Just as his new covenant replaced the old covenant, Jesus' new commandment replaced all the old commandments. Stanley went on to say that he believed so much of the evils committed by churches over history were connected to them trying to miss aspects of the old covenant with Christianity, and that although Jesus was foreshadowed in the old covenant, he did not come to extend it. Really, brother? I mean, did he really say that? Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Whoa.
The Sons and Daughters of Liberty. I know you've heard that name before, but who are they and what does that have to do with the Sons of Liberty? The Sons and Daughters of Liberty are a group of faithful men and women who have decided to do something about the problems that we see in America today. They are those who have made it a point to faithfully support our ministry on a monthly basis. They have said, I am tired of hearing about all the problems. It's time for me to be a part of the answers. They choose whatever level of giving is right for them and are consistently part of a team that is reaching this nation with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of it too. How do you join the team? Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button. There are different levels of membership for you to choose from, or you can create your own and plug in the amount that's right for you. Join today and have the satisfaction of knowing that you're doing your part to create a better future for tomorrow and our posterity. We thank God for each and every one of our faithful supporters and hope that you will join together with us to restore this nation back unto Christ, the only hope for America.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, I'm Lonnie Poindexter, and I'm the host of the Lion Chaser Show on UrbanFamilyTalk.com. And when I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God, I listen to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, highlighting another heretic in America. Andy Stanley says 10 commandments don't apply to Christians. How's that working out for you, America? Should I give you some statistics since 1962? Because it's not working out very well for you. He said that Christians should quit erecting Ten Commandments displays and should instead consider making monuments dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount. This is Andy Stanley, leading from the back. This is heretical. You know, it's funny because when you go over to the likes of Martin Luther, he had said, the great reformer, but Satan, the god of all dissension, this is important. But Satan, the god of all dissension, stirreth up daily new sects, and the last of all, which of all other, I should have never foreseen or once suspected, he hath raised up a sect of such as teach that the Ten Commandments ought to be taken out of the church, and that men should not be terrified by the law, but gently exhorted or by the preaching of the grace of Christ. Satan, the god of all dissension, stirreth up daily new sects. And last of all, which of all others I should have never foreseen or once suspected, he hath raised up a sect of such as teach that the Ten Commandments ought to be taken out of the church, and that men should not be terrified by the law, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ. I want to let this guy step into it, okay, friends? I want you to listen to more of this. This is Andy Stanley, who said the Ten Commandments don't apply to Christians. Stanley went on to say that he believed so much of the evils committed by churches over history were connected to them that were trying to mix aspects of the Old Covenant with Christianity, and that although Jesus was foreshadowed in the Old Covenant, he did not come to extend it. I just a quick question. Here, let's pull the rug right now. Let's lay the axe to the root of this heretical man right here, okay? Jesus said in one scripture, he said this, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5:17. And this is exactly what gives way to what we're dealing with today. When the church fails to be the light and the compass of a moral society, everything else goes, and it goes, and what they do is they continuously try to prop themselves up on doctrine turned upside down on its head without the Holy Ghost who comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16. And they want to establish a teaching that counters God's government. And people don't know the difference. Common sense comes in to play. He said, dear Christian reader, he said, why would we even be tempted to reach back beyond the cross to borrow from a covenant that was temporary and inferior to the covenant established for us at Calvary? Well, let me ask you something, heretic. By the way, if you want to call in at any time, 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. Dear Christian reader, said Andy Stanley, why would we even be tempted to reach back beyond the cross to borrow from a covenant that was temporary and inferior to the covenant God established for us at Calvary? Well, let me ask you something, Mr. Stanley. What drove you to the cross? That's all I want to know. What drove you to the cross? Where it can do no more as you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You talk about love and how we're supposed to abrogate God's moral law, which Christ never did, and you want to continuously tell us that God is love. But yet you want to omit and gut the pith and marrow of His Word by teaching the opposite of what Scripture teaches us? Because that's exactly what these heretics are doing. He goes on, the author, this is Andy Stanley. He goes on, the author of Hebrews says it's best. Jesus was the guarantor of a better covenant, Hebrews 7:22. Later he writes, the new covenant is established on better promises. Besides, you weren't included in the old covenant to begin with, so why are you fighting to build monuments to it? Oh my goodness, here, I got to do this just for the sake of having a little fun in this frustration and exposing this guy for who he is. Matthew 1, the first book in the New Testament, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Hey, if you don't need to read the Old Testament, which is an exhibition of the character of God, then I got a question to you. The character of God, read Jeremiah 9:24 when you get a moment. Then I got a question for Mr. Stanley. Who's David? Then it says the son of Abraham. Who's Abraham? And then Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Who are those guys? And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Amram. Who are those guys? And Amram. And why was it so important for the writer, namely Matthew, to highlight the genealogy of Old Testament's patriarchs? If it was so unimportant for us to even take the time to know the Old Testament, I just got to know. I'm curious. This is heresy at its very best. And it's prevalent in the American church today. And I'm here to tell you, this is exactly what I stand against. When I started doing in what I believed in adhering to the word of Christ, my opposition were these people because I was obeying the Christ. And again, here we are. Dealing with it once again, this is what we are combating, friends, is heretics in the church. Heretics in the church. We wonder why we have corruption to high heaven in the professed church. We wonder why we have corruption to the high heaven in governments. It's because of what they advocate. It's because of what they continuously advocate, friends. And this is exactly why we need to accept the apostles and the prophets in the church today to set the record straight. And calling out these heresies for what they are, and these heretics for who they are. This is absolutely so far out there, it should make any true Christian indignant, angry. In the book, Andy Stanley's book, he said, Old Covenant leftovers stating that he believed Christians had an uncomfortable history and a habit of selectively rebranding aspects of God's covenant with Israel and smuggling them into that of Jesus. Again, he continuously talks about the love of Jesus. And he's denouncing the use of God's moral law. But I just have one question for you, friends. When we go over to that of John 8, and I'm going to read a King James Version, I want to ask you something. What was it that drove the woman to the feet of Christ? John 8, verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Christ that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger, many speculate that he was writing the Ten Commandments in the sand to bring about the conviction of sin that they might repent. Okay? But they said this, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You know, I'd love to ask Mr. Andy Stanley what sin is, because I guarantee you he can't define it. But I can, because I'm looking at Scripture where it tells me in 1 John 3:4, that's the transgression of law. And it tells us in Romans 3:20 that for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But how did I have a knowledge of the sin? The law showed me. It showed me what I was guilty of before a just and a holy God, which in process and in the work of the Holy Ghost brings about godly repentance. Repentance towards God in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 21. You know, it's interesting because as Jesus stooped down in John 8, verse 8, and wrote on the ground, it says that, and they in verse 9, which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, which means with knowledge, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Here's grace, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is getting ready to address the nation tonight from the Oval Office. The president will speak at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. The president will be addressing border security, and Vice President Mike Pence tells ABC's Good Morning America most of the people can see through the politics of this.
The American people aren't as
concerned about the political debate as they are concerned about what's really happening at the border. 3,000 special interest individuals, people with suspicious backgrounds that may suggest terrorist connections, were apprehended at our southern border.
Accused Florida high school shooter Nicholas Cruz is in court today for one of his many procedural hearings leading up to his eventual trial. Cruz showed up wearing glasses for the first time. He's charged with 17 counts of murder. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty against Cruz. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about this heretic, Andy Stanley, says Ten Commandments don't apply to Christians. I want you to tell me if this sounds like it was prophetic, and if we're in them times that were prophesied concerning what was prophesied by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, over 100 years ago. He said the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. Well, Christianity without Christ. Well, forgiveness without repentance. Hello, salvation without regeneration. Well, politics without God, heaven without hell. And whose fault do you think that would be, America? It falls to the pulpits in this country that refuse, folks, to take responsibility. And I'm here to tell you, and you tell old Andy boy, you're a heretic, brother. You are out in left field. You are not born of the Spirit. You need to understand, God speaks to your heart, not your head. That comes secondly. And look at the heresy that these men preach. In a state of anarchy in the United States of America, which again falls to the front door of the church and their responsibility, what does he do? He continuously advocates that which God never abrogated. I was just highlighting here in John 8 concerning the woman that was caught in adultery. And the Bible tells us that when he stood up, in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto the woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And the woman said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There's grace. Go and sin no more. Why? Because it was an issue of the heart. She was repentant. She realized her sin when the Son of God was standing over her. And she also realized who was able to save her after mercy was shown through repentance. And guess what? He taught her grace instantaneously, and he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Again, this kind of stuff, this heresy, jacks me up, to say the least, friends. You know, he talks about love, and God is love. Yes, he is. But if Jesus came in to abrogate it, then why did Jesus do it? When you go to Mark 10:17, it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why did thou callest me good? There's none good but one. That is God. This is Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. And what's the first thing Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Number 7, do not kill. Number 6, do not steal. Number 8, do not bear false witness. Number 9, defraud not. Honor your father and your mother. Folks, this is Jesus preaching to the Jews. Preacher of the circumcision, Romans 15:8. Jesus never came to abrogate that law. I'm not saved by that law. It's just a mirror that drives me to the foot of the cross, where it can do no more. It drives me. It shows me my sin before God. And it drives me for my need. And when I come to terms with it by the power of the Holy Ghost, my need for a Savior. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world. I didn't call the righteous. I come into the world, he said. They have no need of a Savior, those that don't need repentance. I didn't come in to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. How did he do that? I just showed you. Now listen to this. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. He was trying to justify himself and keeping the law. Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said unto him, after using the law as a schoolmaster to drive this rich young ruler to the foot of himself, he said, but this one thing you lack. He went right to the heart. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Okay. That was the core of the issue. And Jesus went directly to it because he loved him. He's seen a self-righteous Pharisee trying to justify himself. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God, friends. And he was doing this to please men rather than God. And he failed the test. Well, how so, Bradley? Well, and Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Why would he say that? Because the rich young ruler was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In other words, his God was his golden calf. His riches. We got Steve calling from Minnesota. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Thanks for hanging on, Steve. I just wanted to lay this premise. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, talk about the wolves trying to devour the sheep. He's a perfect example. But I once had a discussion with an atheist, and we might as well consider this guy the same thing. And I asked the atheist, I said, which one of the Ten Commandments would you like violated against you? Because if he's not going to follow the Ten Commandments, and it's okay to kill him, his ministry wouldn't last 5 minutes. If you could steal everything he has, if you could lie to him, his ministry wouldn't last but mere seconds once everybody quit obeying the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
I mean, it's silly.
Steve,
that's
you see
why
this?
Our country is failing.
That's exactly right. It's exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. But, you know, as I've said 100 times on this radio show over the last 17 years, it's interesting because when I thought I was going to enter into the church, I thought within myself because of the false doctrines that they were teaching and continuously preaches were highlighting even now, I thought when I went into the church, everything was going to be good. It was going to be great, wonderful. Well, when I got into the church in America, I found out, wait a second, that's exactly where the snakes are at, where the self-righteous are at. And it's interesting. They put themselves at the helm of the church. They preach the Word of God out of context without the Holy Ghost. And it's interesting that they continuously do it, all the while knowing the fruit that their sermons don't bear or do bear. and they continuously going on concerning their topics and their sermons with their whore's foreheads. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Read Jeremiah 23, because it perfectly describes what we're dealing with today. When you preach a law, I mean, this is like the government. And by the way, this is why the government is arrayed today in this country, is because we see judges not enforcing the law, and we see them, in fact, along with the help of corrupt politicians and first and foremost the church, educating the young people how to break the law and to use the grace of God as an occasion for the flesh. Do whatever you want to do. Just profess your belief in Jesus, and heaven can't wait until you get there.
The most thriving cultures were ones that don't steal from each other, they don't kill each other, and they don't lie to each other. You can't do business or be successful at anything if you can't believe the other person, or you got to be afraid of them because they're going to kill you or steal from you. You can't have any safety or any well-being whatsoever without the Ten Commandments.
I mean, and here we are.
Put down what a country needs to be. And what was interesting is I heard it reported today that the leading cause of death is abortion now. Well, that means doctors deliberately killing babies is now the leading cause of death. Well, if you add in what they were reporting, that opioid overdose was the leading cause of death, I suppose, outside of abortion, you add that in and medical mistakes, it wonders if they're killing more people than they're helping in the medical community. And you can't survive doing that. I mean, thou shalt not kill. You can't last a culture will totally go under.
It reminds me of Madeline Murray O'Hare. She was the one that had a problem with God's moral law. And I just wonder how she felt before she was being murdered. She worked her whole life to pull down God's moral law, only to find out it would have been the very thing, if obeyed, to save her life. And it's interesting as well, the apple doesn't fall too far from the Holy Ghost tree, because her son, in fact, now runs a ministry in Washington, D.C. So the Lord's going to have his way one way or another. But the people in this country should look to the pulpits in America as to understand why we're in trouble today. And by the way, Andy Stanley and a whole plethora of these guys, these are the very people that are responsible for advocating. They're the greatest advocates to the abortion industry. They're the greatest advocates to the homosexual agenda. They're the greatest advocates to their, opening the doors to illegal immigrants. Opening the doors to those that mean to destroy and conquer their country, namely the Muslims. They're the greatest advocate to the downfall of this country, and somehow or another, the people have not quite caught on as to what's going on here still. Noah Webster said, the moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitutions and laws. And it does. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. I'll give you the last word, Steve.
If they do it because they want to devour the sheep, they have to sucker you. So what they do is they complex the simple. If I want to knock you over, which is the easiest way to knock you over? With your both feet planted on the ground sturdy, or if I got you hopping on one foot? If I got you hopping on one foot, I knock you over. So I call it the Ten Commandments instead of saying thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill, and all of a sudden I can sucker you into thinking that you don't need rules, and we can start leading you down the wrong road. The guy's a con man at the end of the day.
That's exactly what he is. And if people would read their Bibles for themselves, they would know that's exactly what he's doing. Furthermore, a pastor has no business leading anybody's church. And I'm still waiting for a phone call for someone to contend with me on that. The pastor is named one time in Ephesians 4:11, and yet the Bible talks about first the apostle, then the prophet, and then the teacher. So you have them leading heretically from the back, unscripturally. So how much more, America, do you need to be upside down and allow this to continue on? It's only going to go so far. Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Richard from Elkhorn, Tennessee. I stand for Bradley Dean in his fight for America. So I say, come on, all you silent Christians out there, let's stand up, let's back up, and let's speak up for Bradley Dean's message. Remember this, united we stand, and divided we fall.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You know, it's interesting, we're talking about Andy Stanley, this heretic here, who is attempting to teach his lost sheep to abrogate God's moral law. That's all they have to do is look to society to see how in error this heretic is. I also want to tell you, in 1 Kings 13:33, it talks about how Jeroboam, who continued in his sin towards God, he would appoint the lowest of the people to be his priests. This is why these people are put up, friends. And it's interesting to note as well, friends, when you look at guys like this, and folks, I could name literally hundreds, thousands, over, matter of fact, there's over 300,000 of these self-proclaimed pastors leading the church when God never ordained it. And then you wonder why you get the fruitlessness, and in some cases, the fruit that you are getting, more than not, out of these guys. Because you, Americans, don't read your Bible for yourselves. Because if you did, you wouldn't tolerate this. You wouldn't go to these places. You would call these guys out for what they are. This is what Jesus did. This is what he taught in Matthew 23. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And this is exactly what they are. And the Herodians. Corrupt doctrine of government. Corrupt doctrine in the church. This is a fine entrance, friends. To teach people to give their allegiance over to corruption. Not of God, but of man. I mean, it was our forefathers that said resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. He's teaching you to resist God and to give your allegiance and obedience over to the state, the government. That's exactly what he's doing. He's even contradicting even that and countering through his message even what he means to. Folks, he's as blind as a bat. That's what he is. Blind as a bat. I want you to listen to this. This is R.W. Barber in 1900. He said, "He who has not felt what sin is in the Old Testament knows little what grace is in the New. He who has not trembled in Moses and wept in David and wondered in Isaiah will rejoice little in Matthew and rest little in John. He who has not suffered under the law will scarcely hear the glad sound of the gospel." I want to say this again, friends. This is why I study the old generals of God. They didn't talk about God, they walked with God. And they expose everything that Americans are accepting today. It first starts in the church. And these people need to be called out for their heresies. They need to be removed, friends. Because again, this is false doctrine. Again, R.W. Barber said in the 1900s, "He who has not felt what sin is in the Old Testament knows little what grace is in the New. He who has not trembled in Moses and wept in David and wondered in Isaiah will rejoice little in Matthew and rest little in John. He who has not suffered under the law will scarcely hear the glad sound of the gospel." I can't make it any more clear than this. Anley Stanley telling people, his congregants, the Ten Commandments don't apply to Christians. Friends, it's the very method to bring men to Christ. Why would you go to a doctor, friends? Because someone exposed your disease for what it was and you needed medical attention. You go to the great physician, right? Without that, you don't go. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. His points are upside down. They're backwards. This is scary stuff. You know, it's funny because when I write my columns, my wife will always tell me, "Honey, you sound too old English. You sound too old English." I said, "Well, that's all I read is old English, but it's proper. It's punctual. It's upright. It's exacting. And it cuts to the chase." If someone says to me, "Bradley, what do you mean by that?" I just get it. The entrance of the word brings light to the simple. And I just get the old. And by the way, it took me years to go through the old. To go through the King James Bible. And I'm telling you, I had a Strong's Concordance. I had the Webster's 1828. And I had to understand what it meant and how it rolled out in its meanings and definitions. And I spent years in commentary from Matthew Henry to John Wesley to Charles Spurgeon to some of Finney's to John Bunyan's to that of John Knox. And it's like, wait a second, man, these guys, they walked in power. In other words, the Holy Ghost bore witness to their preaching, to their submission to that of the Christ. They put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you think of the guys like John Knox, when they said that when he'd start out preaching, he would just be talking, and before you knew it, he was pounding in the pulpit because he understood the power of the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, Isaiah 10. I mean, it was said of John Knox that a man with God is always in the majority. How many can say that today? I want to know that, Lord. I want to know that. I want to know the God of Moses. I want to know the God of David. I want to know the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles. Well, then meet him on his terms, and this is how you do it. You need to begin to throw these heresies, folks, these heretics off. They're everywhere. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, because I want people to understand this before I hang up, before I close out today's show. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That means when you witness to someone and ask them that they think that they're a pretty good person, most everyone will say yes. As a matter of fact, I haven't met a person yet who said no. So then I will say, let's just take you through the good test and to see if you really are a good person. I'll ask you, have you ever told a lie before, friends? Most will say yes if they're truthful. Then I'll say, and I am saying, so what does that make you? What do you call someone who tells lies, friends? Well, a liar, right? Have you ever stolen anything before, irrespective of its value? Whether it's 50 cents from your mom's purse or borrowed $5 from someone and forget to pay them back? Well, yeah, I guess. And then I'll say, well, and I'm saying, so what does that make you? It makes you a thief. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and number 7 of those Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus came along and intensified the law in grace and said that even if you look upon a man or a woman to lust after them, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. Matthew 5:28. And then I'll say, have you ever looked upon a woman or a man in lust? Of course. So by your own admission, I'm not judging you, but I am giving you the judge's word. You've admitted to being a lying thief and an adulterer at heart. So when you die and stand before God on judgment day, where do you think that he should send you? Heaven or hell? If someone says heaven, you got to ask them where their discernment went. Well, because I've been told that God is a loving God and he'll just forgive my sins. Wait a second. Look to the cross. It's twofold. How much did God love mankind and how much did he hate sin? Matter of fact, if you say, well, God is a loving God, he'll forgive my sins. Well, try that in a court of law. Let's say that someone raped your sister, burned down your house and stole your car and then stood in front of the judge and said, I know that I'm guilty of all these things, but I've been told by many people that you are a loving judge and I believe that you'll just forgive me my crimes. And what if the judge said, you know what, you're right, I am a loving judge, so I think I'm just going to overlook your crimes. You're free to go. Would that be a good judge? Of course not. That would be a bad judge. A good judge and a loving judge will not overlook a person's crimes. A good judge will bring down justice upon their crimes. In fact, it's because of the fact that God is good and he is a good judge and loving that he must punish evildoers, and you and I are evildoers. So in the same way, it is because God is loving and because God is good and because God is just that he must punish evildoers who violate his law and commit crimes against heaven. This brings about godly repentance. Only an unloving judge would overlook crime and let criminals off scot-free. A criminal deserves to be punished, and so should you and I. But the good news is that Christ stepped in and paid the price for our crimes against God and his law by spilling his blood and dying on the cross for our sins, and that is of Calvary. Now John 3:16 has meaning. And that is why the gospel is called the good news. The law showed us our transgression and proved that we are the guilty party when it comes to the criminals breaking his law. And rightful judgment comes down upon us in the guilty criminal and justly gives us the sentence of death and hell. But again, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus stepped in between the wrath of God and us and took our punishment upon himself and made a way for us to escape judgment and to be forgiven through his death on the cross and the atonement of his blood. Read 1 Peter 3:18 when you get a moment. Love you by what we do. Talk to you in 23. See ya.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.